Loving God, we don't ask for your presence to be with us because you are already and always present with us. As we hear the words from Scripture this night, we pray that you will touch a special place in our spirits, that we may be drawn closer to you and to one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our epistle reading will be quite familiar. You hear these words each time we participate in the sacrament of communion, the words of Paul to the church in Corinth. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And of the four versions of this Thursday night in the Scriptures, tonight we'll be reading from the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to God. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that God had given all things into his hand and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. And for this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." Well, after he had washed their feet and had put on his robe and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Well, according to Scripture, after Jesus' hope-filled and triumphant entry into Jerusalem, the rest of the week didn't go so well for him. Before the close of Thursday night, Jesus will be betrayed and arrested. But just before this occurs, however, Jesus shares a meal with his disciples. And each of the four Gospels tells the story a bit differently, but especially different is the Gospel of John. Only in the Gospel of John are we told how Jesus got up from the table, took off his outer robe, tied a towel around himself, poured water into a basin, and washed the disciples' feet, then wiping them with a towel that was wrapped around him. It is this particular story that undergirds the traditional worship of what the Church Universal calls Maundy Thursday. And for it is also the only in John's version that Jesus gives the disciples this new commandment. In Latin, it's mandatum, from which we get mandate, hence Maundy. And that commandment, of course, is that we are to love one another. Now, when Jesus returned to the table after washing the disciples' feet, he acknowledged that they did not know now what he was doing, but they would understand later. But why the confusion? Well, washing another's feet in Jesus' day was considered a shameful task, perhaps even that of a slave. So naturally, the disciples did not understand what Jesus was doing. And Peter's outright protest then is completely understandable given the humiliating impropriety of what Jesus was doing for those he loved. Yet in response, Jesus replies by giving them a directive for their mission as his followers. If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. The disciples then learn a very valuable lesson, as do we in the church. As followers of the ways and teachings of Jesus, we're not to argue with one another over who's the greatest. We're not to use our privilege to take advantage of others or to lord it over others. Rather, we are called to attend to the humble and, yes, perhaps sometimes even humiliating task of serving one another. And that's a primary way that we can put our love into action. But what does genuine love look like in practice? Well, this question is asked in the devotional booklet that we have been using throughout the season of Lent, Mary Oliver and the Poetry of Lent. It adds, here Jesus teaches his disciples that love looks like humble, tangible, vulnerable service. Humble, tangible, vulnerable service. And to illustrate this, the devotional booklet offers an excerpt of Mary Oliver's poem entitled Singapore. And it's about her real life chance encounter with a woman cleaning a public restroom. And it becomes a window into how dignity and humility intertwine. Therefore, perhaps a good lesson for us. I'd like to share this entire poem with you on this Maundy Thursday evening. In Singapore, in the airport, a darkness was ripped from my eyes. In the women's restroom, one compartment stood open. A woman knelt there, washing something in the white bowl. Disgust argued in my stomach, and I felt in my pocket for my ticket. A poem should always have birds in it. Kingfishers say, with their bold eyes and gaudy wings. Rivers are pleasant, and of course trees. A waterfall, or if that's not possible, a fountain rising or falling. A person wants to stand in a happy place in a poem. When the woman turned, I could not answer her face. Her beauty and her embarrassment struggled together and neither could win. She smiled and I smiled. What kind of nonsense is this? Everybody needs a job. Yes, a person wants to stand in a happy place in a poem. But first, we must watch her as she stares down at her labor, which is dull enough. She is washing the tops of the airport ashtrays, as big as hubcaps, with a blue rag. Her small hands turn the metal, scrubbing and rinsing. She does not work slowly nor quickly, but like a river. Her dark hair is like the wing of a bird. I don't doubt for a moment that she loves her life, and I want her to rise up from the crust and the slop and fly down to the river. This probably won't happen, but maybe it will. If the world were only pain and logic, who would want it? Of course it isn't. Neither do I mean anything miraculous, but only the light that can shine out of a life. I mean the way she unfolded and refolded the blue cloth, the way her smile was only for my sake. I mean the way this poem is filled with trees and birds. Did you notice how humility and dignity intertwine? Did you notice, to quote Mary Oliver, that light can shine out of a life? And so the question is, how can we make our love more tangible, more luminous, more clear? It certainly requires, at least in part, our humility and our vulnerability. The devotional goes on to suggest a couple of practices. Reach out to someone who has been kind to you and express your appreciation face to face or write a note. Wash the hands or feet of a family member or friend. Make someone a meal. Give a pet a special treat or put up a new bird feeder. Well, I'd add, engage in random and not so random acts of kindness. And if and when you are available and time allows, volunteer to help. And since College Hill was selected as one of the feeding sites for Tulsa Public School students for breakfast and lunch, should a walkout occur, we could certainly use some of your help to volunteer, just to be a presence at some point between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. each afternoon from Monday through Thursday. TPS is handling all the food and serving duties, but they need our church volunteers to kind of watch out for the place and supervise the kids. And Terry Baxter has graciously agreed to serve as our volunteer coordinator. So if you are available, please get in touch with Terry. Well, I'd summarize it all this way. By asking, with and through love for one another and humble service, how can you let light shine out of your life? Also, how can you be more attentive to recognize and acknowledge the light that shines out of the life of others? Well, as with each Sunday in the past, throughout Lent, I'll now light a candle. On this Maundy Thursday, we light the candle of love, praying, God of love, help my love become more tangible, more luminous, more clear today and every day. And now, if you so choose, repeat that same prayer after me. God of love, help my love become more tangible, more luminous, more clear today, and every day. Amen.